Ibata, speaking from the tongue of an experienced simpleton who obviously would rather be an emasculated, infantile complainee, this note should be pretty easy to understand. All the warnings from the Punk Rock 101 courses over the years, since my first introduction to the, shall we say, ethics involved with independence and the embracement of your community, has proven to be very true. I haven't felt the excitement of listening to, as well as creating music, along with reading and writing, for too many years now. I feel guilty beyond words about these things. For example, when we're backstage and the lights go out and the manic roar of the crowd begins, it doesn't affect me the way in which it did for Freddie Mercury, who seemed to love, relish in the love and adoration from the crowd, which is something I totally admire and envy. The fact is, I can't fool you, any one of you. It simply isn't fair to you or me. The worst crime I can think of would be to rip people off by faking it and pretending as if I'm having 100% fun. Sometimes I feel as if I should have a punch-in time clock before I walk out on stage. I've tried everything within my power to appreciate it, and I do. God believe me, I do. But it's not enough. I appreciate the fact that I, and we, have affected and entertained a lot of people. I must be one of those narcissists who only appreciate things when they're gone. I'm too sensitive. I need to be slightly numb in order to regain the enthusiasm I once had as a child. On our last three tours, I've had a much better appreciation for all the people I've known personally and as fans of our own music, but I still can't get over the frustration, the guilt, and the empathy I have for everyone. There's good in all of us, and I think I simply love people too much. So much that it makes me feel too f***ing sad. The sad little sensitive, unappreciative Pisces. Jesus, man, why didn't you just enjoy it? I don't know. I have a goddess of a wife who sweats ambition and empathy, and a daughter who reminds me too much of what I used to be, full of love and joy, kissing every person she meets because everyone is good and will do her no harm. And that terrifies me to the point to where I can barely function. I can't stand the thought of Francis becoming the miserable, self-destructive death rocker that I've become. I have it good, very good, and I'm grateful. But since the age of 7, I've become hateful towards all humans in general, only because it seems so easy for people to get along and have empathy. Empathy. Only because I love and feel sorry for people too much, I guess. Thank you all from the pit of my burning, nauseous stomach for your letters and concern during the past years. I'm too much of an erratic, moody baby. I don't have the passion anymore, and so remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away. Peace, love, empathy, Kurt Cobain. Francis and Courtney, I'll be at your altar. Please keep going, Courtney, for Francis, for her life, which will be so much happier without me. I love you.
This is Nicole
and Danielle
with Backwoods Murder Podcast. That was the said suicide note from Kurt Cobain. What website did we get that on?
I got it off of YouTube. I'll have to, at the end, I'll find who I got it from.
Yeah, because we don't want to be sued or anything. No. But that was the suicide note from Kurt Cobain. So, most people, well, except for Danielle.
No, I don't know. I'm undecided.
So, most people know Nirvana.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain was the lead singer of Nirvana. And some people believe that he committed suicide. Others believe that he was murdered. I don't know. I feel like he was murdered. Danielle was heading towards suicide.
Yeah, I mean, until I really, like, looked at the suicide note, because the last lines where he supposedly wrote to Courtney saying, take care of our daughter and, like, stay strong for her was in totally different handwriting.
And a different, like,
font, like,
yeah, everything.
Pen, everything.
And it was said that Courtney had been practicing
his handwriting.
His handwriting, yeah. For a while now.
So.
Okay, we're gonna start at the beginning of, yes, Kurt Cobain's young life. Yes. You have all that?
I have some of that. I have mostly, like, the leading up to, okay, his death.
What do you... Go ahead.
So, he was, like,
when
getting...
When was he born?
He hated fame.
Okay, so let me put it this way. Kurt Cobain was born February 20th, 1967.
Okay.
Yeah. And he did hate fame.
Yeah, he never wanted to be super famous. The whole music career came out of, like, having a good time with his friends. He never really wanted it to blow up as much as he
wanted to make a living.
Right.
But he didn't want to be famous. He wanted, exactly. like, a comfortable life.
Yes. And his wife, Courtney, was the one that was more popular when they got married.
Or right before they got married.
Yeah.
So Courtney made Kurt Cobain sign a prenup because she thought she was going to be more famous than him and Nirvana. Well, it turns out that was a stupid move on Courtney's part because guess what? Nirvana blew up and Courtney kind of did, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt Cobain was the rocker. Like, he was famous and she was, you know, pretty famous. So
I feel like that's just a bad start to a marriage anyways. Is if you really are going to worry about who's going to get the money if something happens, you know, that's just like, I don't know. If someone asked me to do that, I would be a little bit,
hesitant.
Bit offended almost. Like, it's almost like marrying into money kind of thing is when you do that. And if, like, I don't know, I feel like when you get married, you're, like, entering someone's family.
Right. So it shouldn't be, I mean, I get prenups, like, if there's one person that, like, you're going into a relationship with a millionaire.
Yeah.
I understand that, because, right. like, you could be a gold-digging bitch.
Right. Yeah.
And they could lose everything because you're a gold-digging bitch.
Yeah.
So, here we go. I'm going to let Danielle do her theory first, and then I'm going to come back with, like, rebuttals. Like, okay. while you're telling your side, I'm going to be like, bam, no. Okay? Just going to put it out there.
So, when I was looking into this murder, the first person that really popped up was Detective Tom Grant. He was the first one. He was called in to investigate this murder after, like, a few weeks after the fact that it happened. And he just kept saying that
is
Courtney,
that the private investigator? Yeah. No, Courtney
hired him
before.
Okay, but he, even though Courtney hired him, he was the one that has been saying that she's the one throwing red flags about this suicide
right.
the whole time. And he was like, she's just not sad. Like, she's not as affected as a loving wife should be about her husband committing suicide. And I also thought that the suicide note was very fan-based. He's more, like, it could be a note where he's, like, apologizing to his fans that, like, okay.
I'm done.
Like, I'm done. This is where I'm ending it.
I don't want fame anymore.
Yeah.
I want to live simply with my,
daughter
and
yeah.
my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be on the road.
Right. So, in March, Kurt was traveling, doing shows in Europe. So he came down with bronchitis and laryngitis
yep.
on March 1st. So he ended up flying to Rome for treatment. 2 days later, what they thought was his first attempt of overdosing was a mixture of champagne and rohithrol.
Which is roofies.
Right. So they thought that that was his, like, first suicide attempt, and he was still in Europe at the time.
And he was, so Courtney met him there.
Right.
So Courtney was with him, and Courtney supposedly was doing the same thing.
Yeah, because they were like partying, and then he ended up, I don't know.
Overdosing.
Right, so like that's a sign where Courtney could have been like, oh, maybe if I throw an extra couple of these in there.
They said,
like,
it was 67 pills he would have had to take.
Yeah.
Really?
It's ridiculous, but.
But Courtney could have easily broke him up, because it's the
date rape drug. Yeah.
So she could have broke him up, put him in the champagne, he would have never known.
Yeah. And then, so March 18th comes around. This is still
That's my birthday.
Oh, geez. This is in 94. Cobain had locked himself in a room with a gun. Police went there. They couldn't get him out of the room. He yelled through the door. He stated he was hiding from Courtney. So
why are you hiding from Courtney?
Why are you hiding from your wife? With a gun in the room. So that was a very odd fact that I found about that. It just makes you kind of think, like...
Yeah, because Courtney called and was like, he's suicidal, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was just really a passionate person.
Yeah.
So I think he probably had... I don't know this for a fact. I'm not being a doctor, but I think he had, like, mental illness, maybe some bipolar, yeah. you know, where his highs are really, really high and his lows are and really, really low. And all the drugs. He was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Which helped helped him make great music, but right. ultimately in the end, let's just face it, it's, yeah. you're not going to get very far doing that. And Courtney was too. Courtney was, she was pregnant with their daughter shooting up heroin.
Yeah.
And they got their daughter taken away.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm moving ahead.
It's all good, but, so, yeah, after that happened, he was sent to
March 18th?
Yeah, that's when he got locked in. He locked himself in the room.
Room, okay.
So, March 30th, he was flown to L.A., and he was in a detox center. So, he stayed in this detox center for a while. Like, I want it, like, a month or two in L.A., but he ran away.
No, 3 days.
Really?
It was only three days.
I thought it said 3 months, but. Yeah, because his family came to see him on the third day.
Yes.
And he ran away the night after.
Right.
And he ended up flying to California that night.
California or
Seattle.
Seattle. Washington.
Yes.
Not California. Like I said. Oh, okay, so what happened transpired from there to there. Courtney decided she needed to do a, what is it called? When you get people together to do
a support group. Not a situation.
Yeah, it is. But what are they? God, my brain doesn't want to work.
I don't know.
When you get people together and you're like, we're going to confront him and we're going to make him do whatever. So he was pretty pissed off at this fact because in his mind, he did not have a problem. He had a stomach problem for a long time and he was in a lot of pain. And he said the heroin took that away. That was the only thing that took the pain away was heroin. So that is why he became a heroin addict, because it took the pain away. Whether it did or didn't, when it gets into your system, it acts like morphine.
Yeah.
That's
why it's so addictive.
Yeah, so.
You don't feel anything, never mind stomach pain.
Pain, right. But he was sick for a long time. So his first interactions, like, he did it off and on, heroin, with, like, friends, like, here and there. But once he realized that it took the pain away,
it was a
game changer for him.
Daily.
I think it said something like he spent like $4,000 a day or $400 a day or something crazy amount of money on heroin a day.
Yeah.
Because it took the pain away.
And just think about it from like.
Heroin's not that expensive. It is cheap as shit. Because that's why everybody does it.
Homeless people do it and fucking.
Because you can't buy a beer for the price you can buy some heroin.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously this guy was scared of Courtney. Because he locked himself in a room. I honestly think with the first attempt and being, like, locking himself in the room, Courtney was almost, like, plotting this, so it didn't come as such a surprise when he did, quote-unquote, kill himself. Because, like, if she did put that many roofies in his champagne that night on March 3rd, that's probably why he was hiding from her. And then, obviously, she called the police and told them he was suicidal, so then they're noting, okay, this dude's suicidal. Like,
right, and he has a gun. They confiscated all of his guns.
Yeah.
So, the other thing about Kurt was he was afraid of somebody breaking into his place. So, he had guns because he wanted to scare people, because there had been break-ins, or not necessarily break-ins, but odd things happening.
Yeah, and, like, having that much money and not having,
and being
like,
that famous, yeah. and not wanting to be that famous,
right. It's just something that everyone could think of having that in their home, because,
right.
like, I mean, I do, and I'm not even
famous,
yeah, not even close, but,
but we're from New England,
yeah,
we're two New England girls, like, here in New England, you
it's
farm, yeah, you hunt, we all have guns, well, I would say probably, like, 75% of people here have guns, yeah. maybe less, I don't know, but I know everybody I know has guns.
Yeah, same, so.
So, I get it, like,
yeah,
he was from a small town, like, his original town was, like, a logging town, and they went, and then it was a broke town,
yeah.
so his childhood, he was broke.
Yeah.
And his biggest problem started when his mom and dad got divorced.
Yeah.
He was so embarrassed that his parents broke up.
And I feel like divorce wasn't as big as a thing that it is, like, from 2000s on. Like, Right. I know, like, a lot of my friends have divorced parents. Like, it's almost like, wow, your parents are still together? That's awesome.
Awesome. Right. Like, it's more shocking that people are still married than it is for people to be divorced. Back then, I think it was highly frowned upon. Yeah. So he was going to school, and he was the one, you know, his parents were divorced.
Yeah.
And he did not like that. That's when shit started to change for him.
And then growing up poor, you don't know how to deal with being famous too. Like, you don't know how to deal with money because, like,
you never had the
money because you never had it to deal with it. So, like growing up in a small town like myself, like going somewhere like even Manchester, that's a city for me. Yeah, I'm like, what is going on? So, like, I can't even imagine now, like, as a 20-year-old growing up poor, not poor, but not wealthy, going into a famous lifestyle.
Yeah, like, you're gonna do stupid shit. So his mom had him, right, for a while, and then she couldn't handle him. Like, so he moved in with his father, and she remarried.
And then that probably,
they had kids.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, the outsider of every place. He felt like he didn't belong anywhere. So right. I get it. Like, if he did commit suicide, I understand that. I don't think he did. I think he was so happy to be a father.
Yeah.
And he's married, although we'll get back into that later. So his childhood was rough. It even said at one point he lived under a bridge. He was homeless living under a bridge because nobody could deal with him. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where really, like, music really affected his life, because he was like, wow, this is the one thing that I could do with
and I could my do friends. Right. Yeah.
I could do it right, and I do it good at it.
Like, and he was, like, obsessive about it. He would make people play the same song over and over and over until he liked the way it came out.
Yeah. And which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that's what good artists do, but, and I think he was so, he stayed with Courtney because he was so obsessed of having a perfect family because he never had that. Yeah.
Right. But, okay, so anyways, we're gonna move on to, we're gonna continue with, like, the younger part of him. He ended up with a woman, I cannot remember her name, but they were together for a long time, and she took care of him, and that's when he really started doing the band thing, and she supported him.
Yeah.
She paid all of his bills. He sat home in his little depressive state playing the guitar and recording stuff, and, like, she did a lot for him. Then he got kind of hit it big, and that's when he met Courtney.
Right.
And I actually watched a documentary where Courtney was like, yeah, I went up to Kurt and told him he had a fat girlfriend. I'm like, what a bitch. Like, why would you do that? Like, this woman's pouring her heart out for him, taking care of him, and you're just going to walk up to Kurt and be like, hey, yeah, you got a fat girlfriend.
Yeah.
Really? You sick bitch?
And honestly, I feel like the judgment from his, like, crowd that he was in while doing music is what broke that first relationship up.
What, the...
The one with the lady that really took care of him. Because, like, when you're having all these people telling you, like, that, oh, your girlfriend's ugly or blah, 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 like, it's hard not to think that way. It's hard to, like, keep that relationship going. And, so, I mean, obviously it was a mistake because she took care of him and she
like, when
really
I say took
one.
Care of him, she worked full time. He worked, he did not work.
Yeah.
He had odd jobs here and there. And
he,
then,
like, she financially and mentally.
They called her, like, he mothered her.
Yeah.
Or she mothered him.
Yeah.
And then if you look at her thing, she's like, I did, but I was trying to support him so he could get his music career on the, you know,
on his feet. Yeah.
She says, so yes, I guess I did support him, and she loved him deeply, and that was his first real relationship.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes that doesn't always work out because it's your first person, you know, but they moved, she paid all the bills, he sat at home and he cleaned somewhat, but he would, like, record himself, you know, playing the guitar and singing weird shit, and he was an artist, not just a singing artist. He liked to paint, he liked to draw, he was just, which, he is a Pisces, and I am too. We're very creative, we're very passionate, and when we feel shit isn't going right, we internalize it, I feel like. We take it deep down, and we internalize it, and it's always our fault, and I feel like that's where he was.
And, like, I definitely feel like that's where he was because of his past, too. Like, having a childhood like that is not something that's ever gonna leave you, like, in your mind.
I had that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Shout out to Mom and Dad. I love you, Mom. My mom was just in a car accident on New Year's Eve.
Jesus.
Got rear-ended.
Wow, that took a turn.
That took a turn. A deep turn.
But, anyways. Having that kind of childhood definitely, like, fucks with you for your whole life mentally, for sure.
Right. Like, I have dyslexia, and that, and my mother actually recently said, Nicole, you let it hold you back so much.
Yeah.
But it's so ingrained in my head that it's hard to let that go. I know I can read and write now, but still in the back of my head, I'm very self-conscious about it. Right. So if you ask me to read something out loud, I'm going to screw it up because you asked me to, and I'm going to overthink it, and I'm going to spell it wrong, and then people will pick on me, and that pisses me off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people like, oh, don't call me a bitch, don't call me a cunt. I'm like, don't call me stupid or dumb, please, because I will lose my shit.
Yeah.
But you call me a cunt. I don't care. I am a cunt. It's fine.
Yeah.
But. And so I feel like that's maybe where he was, like, not with that aspect, but being broke and poor and then coming up into this fame that he, it took a while for them to get famous.
It did, but when he got famous, he was very famous. Like, yeah, very popular. I mean, even nowadays, people are still in love with
Kurt Cobain, Nirvana, Dave.
Do you know? But.
So, I feel like, so then he probably had bouts of depression. We all can do that. And he's an artist, so we're more, and Pisces are very passionate people.
Right.
So we're just gonna say stupid shit, like, oh, I'm gonna kill myself, or I'm gonna do this. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna actually do it.
Right.
We're passionate people.
When something doesn't go right, you're like, I want it going right.
Right. And I want to fucking kill myself.
Yeah.
I've probably said that a lot in my life. And I'm
still kicking.
Still here. I'm still here. I'm going to be 37 and I'm still here. Still alive.
But.
So I feel like that was part of it. So everybody's like, oh, he's suicidal. He had never attempted before that.
Right. Until Courtney was like,
involved.
Yeah.
And okay, so you tell me your side of the whole suicide shit. Where are you at right now? Do you still feel like it's suicide?
I really can't decide because, like, after, like, really saying this out loud, it's like, geez, it sounds real suspicious. But, like, I wish that, like, it wasn't that long ago that he died, you know? We still had all this, like,
DNA. You could do testing, and they didn't do shit.
But they're trying to. Are they? They're still trying to. I saw an article about that.
But the police don't want to. No, there's a lot of...
they don't
want to
dig it up.
So there's a lot of people that are, like, calling the police department saying, hey, you need to really investigate this.
Yeah.
But it's a shut and closed case at this point. Like, they were like, oh, suicide, so it's suicide, and this is a big case, so we're just gonna say it's suicide because we don't want to investigate anymore.
And usually, like, I was reading that an investigation usually lasts, like, 2 weeks to over a month, you know? And they called suicide within 3 days of his death. They're like, yep, it's suicide. And also, like, if you think about it, famous people can hide a lot of things with money.
Right.
So, if you have the money to hide something, you can do it.
So, I'm not gonna lie. When me and Danielle first talked about this case, she was like, suicide. And I was like, perfect, now we can, like, we can banter back and forth. And I could be like, no, Danielle, look at this evidence. And, well, now she's turning.
I am turning. The more I talk about it, the more it's just suspicious.
So, the days leading up to Kurt's suicide... Kurt was, they did intervention. That is the word I was looking for. They did an intervention. Courtney called an intervention. Mind you, she's a fucking heroin addict. What? You need an intervention too, bitch.
Yeah, for real.
Like, really? You have a daughter and you're doing an intervention? Oh, for your husband.
Yeah.
So they got all, I think it was like 10 people together. They did an intervention. Kurt was upset and locked himself in a room for a while. And then finally he came out. He's like, fine, I'll go. He went there, he was actually doing good, he talked to counselors, and it seemed like everything was on the up and up. And then he was making jokes, oh, to escape here, I'd have to climb over that rock wall or whatever.
Yeah.
And he did. That night he did. And then he went back to set. So,
He on the plane, he was talking to another famous artist, and he literally, like, just got this plane ticket not knowing, and he was sitting there with someone... from another Guns N' Roses. Yep. Yes, he was talking to a member of Guns N' Roses, and I listened to his interview, and he was just saying how, like, he sounded, like, upset, but not, we never figured that he was upset enough to go and kill himself.
Right, and he said, I was gonna ask Kurt to come back.
Right.
But by the time he got out to say something, Kurt had already left.
Right. Kurt just, like, on the plane, off the plane, see you later.
So, or he went to smoke a cigarette. I don't know. So, Courtney, in the meantime, found out that he wasn't... This is when she hired that private investigator.
Because they lost him. They lost him
He didn't want to be found.
No. They lost him for 8 days because he left L.A. in March and flew to Seattle. And he was in Seattle April 1st, and they found him dead in his Lake Washington home on April 8th. He was gone. They couldn't find him. And that's when Courtney hired Tom Grant.
The day that Kurt left rehab or whatever, she hired this dude. Mind you, they had this male nanny that was addicted to drugs too. And he was supposedly in the set. Oh my God.
In the Lake Washington home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kurt was dead in the Lake Washington home.
For days.
Yeah, for days. Where was this motherfucker? So Tom went and looked. They didn't know there was, like, a greenhouse up above the garage. Right. And it was, like, greenhouse. But then I saw it, and they had actual, like, windows on the roof so you could grow shit in there.
Yeah.
They never saw that dude. They saw a note. I can't remember what the note was. Saying,
from the
babysitter. So they went there one day. They were like, huh, he's not here. Then they went the next day, and then magically there's a note, Kurt, I can't believe you did this. You need to get in touch with us, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like something about not paying him for the week or something like that.
Something crazy. So where is this motherfucker that's supposed to be at the Lake Washington, or the lake house?
Yeah.
Because Courtney kept telling Tom, or whatever is the detective, Tom, don't even bother going there. He's not there. I have blah, blah, blah there. He's there. Blah, 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 blah. Don't even bother. And then he was like, something's a little fishy here.
Yeah. So that backfired on her part because Tom's like, all right, I am literally, like, I have a college education to be doing this, and you're telling me all the signs to go to this house.
So it was the next day after Tom had done the initial investigation, but he didn't look in the garage.
Right.
He looked all through the house, nothing. Nobody's there. It was the next day, so like we said, Kurt was a little, like, obsessed with somebody breaking in. So they had a guy come in to install cameras or lights or something.
All of it. The whole nine yards.
Because he was so paranoid, that's the word I was looking for, paranoid that somebody was coming to get him.
Yeah.
Okay? Does this sound, like, if I am depressed and want to kill myself, would I really be that paranoid about somebody coming to get me? I'd be like, come on, motherfucker, come kill me now.
For real.
And that is when Kurt Cobain's body was found by the electrician. And at first he thought it was, like, a dummy or, like, a mannequin.
Just because he's been laying there for so many days, you know?
So he's like, oh, it's a, and then he saw the blood coming from his ear.
Right. And that's another thing that's wild to me is that, in his autopsy report, the final, like, document said that he shot himself with a sawed-off shotgun, is what he...
But it wasn't sawed-off.
But that's what it said in the report.
And then you saw the gun, though.
Right, and it wasn't sawed-off. So, I don't know if y'all ever seen a shotgun before, but they're pretty long. Like, if you're, like, from trigger to barrel, it's long. Like, more than an arm's length. So, like, just thinking about that, how do you shoot yourself in the mouth with a shotgun?
And because I think and I did the measurements. I think we came up with, it's like 30-something inches from the
trigger
to the actual barrel. Or,
Yeah, where the fucking bullet comes out.
Or it was like something, and I'm like, how tall? So then I'm my investigation, Brian, and I actually haven't found that information, but I wanted to see how tall he was, how long his arms were. Like, if you're in a seat, he was seated.
Yeah.
And then that gun would have, he would have impaled himself through his head.
Yeah, a shotgun is, so if you guys also don't know, like, what a shotgun bullet looks like, it's probably, like, an inch in diameter circle-wise, and it's full of tiny, like, BBs, like, little metal balls.
You can get actual bullets for it.
Right, but they're, it's not a protect, like, usually people just buy the generic if they're using it to protect their home.
Right, because he didn't want to kill somebody. He wanted to scare them. Or scare them. Yeah. Is what he said. I don't want to kill anybody. I just want to scare them away.
Yeah. So when you shoot a shotgun, it sprays. Usually. Unless you get, like, specific kind of bullet for it. But it's a spray. So if you had a shotgun in your mouth and you shot yourself with it, your head, your whole face would be gone, exploded. Like,
the you back of your head would be gone.
The back of your head was, And that's...
Go ahead.
So I was reading, and it was saying that upon, like, the first investigation, police were like, we really didn't see signs of trauma. Like, there wasn't a lot of trauma to the body until they saw the gun. And I'm like, how you would, it would be so obvious. You could explode a squirrel with a shotgun. Like,
right.
It's gone. Pieces. So, that's why I was like, he didn't.
But what they said was it was supposedly a low-impact gun. I don't know what that means with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, how, because one person, hold on, I have to let her out. Come on, Lacey. Go ahead, you keep talking.
I've never heard of a low-impact shotgun. I know there's pistols and handguns, and, like, 22s are low-power, just different kinds of guns. And so that's where it really gets confusing, because not only would you need a specific gun to be low-impact, you'd also need specific bullets. And if you're really just getting a gun for your house, it's not, you're not going to take the time to be like, all right, I need this specific gun. I mean, obviously, you're going to want a gun that you're comfortable with, but... Yeah, it just is very odd to me that there's no signs of trauma until they actually saw the gun. And there, yes, there was blood coming out of his ears. But any gun that you would shoot yourself in the head with, there would be an exit wound because it's so close.
Right. So I was talking to Brian, and Brian, he knows a lot about shotguns. Like, he has bought and owned shotguns his whole life. And he's like, dude, if you shot yourself in the mouth with a shotgun, the whole back of your head would be gone.
Even low impact, because it's just such a powerful gun.
But there was a gunshot wound.
Right, but that's what's making me weird about it, because, like, I don't know. I don't even know. I wish I, like, saw his face, you know?
Right, saw the actual...
Yeah. They also found that there was, like, enough heroin to kill an elephant in his blood, and diazepam, which is, like, a... sleeping anti-anxiety
pill.
So, they also estimated his death April 5th, and they found him April 8th.
Fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
So, where is this guy? Dan, or whatever his name is.
The nanny?
He's supposed to be there the whole time.
Yeah.
He never saw him come in. He never went up there to check.
Yeah.
Come on. None of this makes sense.
No. But there's also a theory. It's called the 27 Club. Okay, this is about, like, it's still happening to this day, where, like, a absurd amount of celebrities, musicians, all that, have died at the age of 27. It holds, like, this eerie identity with music, because they're all mysterious deaths. Like, I can't even think of them, but there's, like, a rapper that just died on his, like, 27th birthday or something like that, and he wrote a song about dying, and then he died, like, weeks after it came out, you know? And they, like... They don't know if they're suicides or not, because it's such a mysterious death, and they also stated that all of them may have been Satanists. All of the people in, like, the 27 Club. They all were one of the top paid artists of the year that they died in, and they all had an absurd amount of drugs in their system in the autopsy reports.
Yeah, because what the hell is... What is that actress's name? This is gonna hold on. 26.
Oh, and also that video clip that I did at the beginning of this, I got the video from Dude Man Productions off of YouTube. So shout out to them for having that awesome suicide note. Red.
So, like, Amy Winehouse is part of the 27th Club.
There's hundreds of them, honestly.
It's not just musicians. That's just musicians. But there's one particular one. I don't want that. And she was famous actress. What the hell is her name? Let me type it in. Actors. Oh, here it is.
Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, Robert Johnson, Ron McCarran, Alan Wilson, Pete Ham, Chris Bell. There's just so, like, an absurd amount of people. that died in the 27 Club. And it's still going to this day, which is wild to me because it's just been for, like, years and years.
Janis Joplin.
Yeah. It's that these people are just dying from, like, this guy, Jimi Hendrix. Jimmy took some sleeping pills. That's literally what it says. And he just died. At the age of 27.
It is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I don't know if that... See, I'm, like, on the fence where I'm like, I don't know if that's when it was. But I also feel like Courtney, right before he died, he called his attorney to change his will. And to get Courtney off of it. And he wanted a divorce. Like, he wanted to get divorced.
Yeah.
Courtney also called and said, give me the baddest, meanest attorney ever. Because they were planning on splitting up.
Yeah.
And then magically he dies not that long after.
Yeah. Before he could get his will changed. And
before he could... He was supposed to sign the papers.
Yeah.
And magically he never made it.
So, this is definitely a murder that doesn't sit very easily with a hundreds to thousands of people, lots of his fans, even detectives. There's still people to this day looking into this
murder, suicide. And his family has probably okayed it, like, yep, he committed suicide, because they don't want...
I don't know if they've okayed it, but I feel like they've definitely been like, let's just get this over with.
Right,
like,
because we want to build a barium. And he was cremated, y'all. Yeah. He was cremated.
Yeah. The day after they found his body,
After the, you know, initial report. And the guy that did
autopsy?
No, the guy that came in to pronounce him dead, coroner, wasn't even licensed at the time.
Yeah.
He was still in training.
Yeah, he was an intern.
So, like, why on this high... Sorry, that's Lexi. We call her Big Sexy Lexi, and she's a little obese, so she makes snoring noises. It's fine.
It's a dog.
Yeah. So, why was him on a celebrity case? Why was he on a celebrity case? And he just was like, yep, get this over with, and
he's dead.
He's dead. Looks like, shotgun. He just killed himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope now people investigate things a little bit further, but it was the 90s and whatever. So there's what we left you with. And there is a bunch of documentaries about it.
There's a whole movie.
Soaked in Bleach is one.
Yeah, that's...
What is the other one? I watched, Kurt Cobain documentary.
Kurt Cobain's documentaries are Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, Soaked in Bleach, and Kurt Cobain, about a son.
So there's three whole documents about his death.
And life. I watched the first one, Kurt Cobain.
I watched Soaked in Bleach.
Did you? How'd you watch it?
I watched it on Hulu.
It's on Hulu?
I think so. It's either Hulu or Netflix. I don't think it's Netflix. I'm pretty sure. No, I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Can I steal that from you?
No, I don't have. It's Tim's Amazon.
Tell Tim I'm gonna watch that.
But
I did watch the Kurt Cobain Up in Heck or whatever that is. What is it called? Montage of Heck.
Yeah, Montage of Heck.
And that, I mean, you get to see his mom, his first girlfriend, like a bunch of stuff. So give us a shout out. Let us know your theories. I mean, there's probably hundreds of different theories out there and we'd like to hear. We do have, Facebook, which is, let me find it. It is Backwoods Murder Podcast. We do have Instagram, which is Backwoods Murder. And we do have a email address, which I can't remember what it is. It's backwardsmurder at Yahoo or Gmail. I don't know. You can find out. Look in past episodes. Give us a shout out. Tell us what you think of this episode. We will be having a guest star from Scotland in the next week or so. And he's going to be talking about serial killers in Scotland, which I think is neat because we don't hear about that much. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's not as many stories we're used to.
I'm just excited to listen to his voice.
It's pretty hot, I'm not going to lie. I am too. But sometimes I don't... So you got to remember, he says cunt and stuff like that because that's how they talk. And some of the things they say, I'm just like, huh? Can you repeat that? I told him he had to United States fix his language. I'm like, don't be so Scottish. Could you actually make it so we can understand what you're saying? He's like, okay, I'll speak better English. All right, buddy.
All right.
So we'll be doing that, and I can't remember what he wanted to be called. It wasn't his regular name. It was something like Mysterious or something.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear God. All right. Have a great night, and
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and Merry Christmas. It's been a while since we've been on here. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.